Good morning, good morning, good morning. And thank you for joining me on another episode of Face to Face Talk Show. As always, we are going to have an interesting conversation here on Face to Face. We ask the hard questions, we have the uncomfortable conversations, and we do that because change starts with a conversation. So before we get into today's show, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that is to enlighten a friend. Yes, go ahead and share the show, text someone, tweet someone, inbox them, go into your group chat and let people know to watch Face to Face Talk Show, because we are making a difference in the world. So I want to go ahead and introduce our first guest, going to give some brief introductions. I want to introduce Miss Amy Hughes. And I love it when people migrate through the Asharifa process. So I met Amy. Amy was initially kind of tuning into the show, watching Roundtable Talk Show. Then she said, you know what? I got to be a part of this conversation. I had her as a guest on the Roundtable Talk Show. She was just amazing. We started to talk in depth, and I'm like, you know what? If we want to get into a conversation, you have to be a part of Face to Face Talk Show. Good morning, Amy Hughes. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm wonderful. Even after last night, still have hope for the world.
I was about to say, you know what's so funny though, is because when you said after last night, I was like, what happened? I'm like, oh, okay. I get it. I get it. I get it. I get it. I'm already on. I'm on there, Amy. So hold on one moment. I want to introduce Miss Kimberly Lawson. She is joining us today on Face to Face Talk Show. I love it when people take that risk, step into the seat, and join the conversation. Good morning, Kimberly. How are you?
Good morning and good afternoon to everyone that's on the East Coast with me. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I am so excited to start this show. This is one of the areas where I look forward to all week, because this is my therapy when I can get some things off my chest and say them in a way that I normally have to be politically correct. So, Kimberly, what brings you to Face to Face Talk Show today?
Just a new experience. I'm not exactly sure how we connected. I think I may have responded to a posting or somewhere. But you know, I'm not one to shy away from new experiences. I looked up the show on YouTube and I was like, okay, this is a different type of interview than what I've previously done. So you said that this is your therapy. Let's hope we don't all need it after this conversation today.
Never,
We
never.
might, we might. But what happens is we're like, you know what? I see you in therapy next week on Wednesday. And we come back. So I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest. She's amazing, amazing, amazing. And one of the reasons I love this lady so much is she's just like myself in that people don't always tend to see us coming. She's this little, short, petite lady, but she's so feisty and she uses her voice to go out and help the community. She's been in politics forever. She's been in entertainment. She's an actress. She is just someone who is willing to make a difference in the world. I want to welcome back, because we had a very interesting conversation last time where she told us about some things that were going on in her lifetime, Miss E. Mandisa Subira. Good morning, E. How are you?
Peace and blessings, everybody. It's going to be sunny and 78 degrees in Seattle today. So I'm going to go and hang out with the dolphins and whales, I think, later on.
That's awesome.
That's nice. We had a wonderful time in Seattle. I had no idea. It was so beautiful. I wanted to stay and move to Seattle, buy me an island out there in Washington until it rained for the last 2 days. And then I was like, you know, Long Beach.
Here's the thing, though. See, it rains in Seattle. The Orcas Islands get 113 more days of sunshine because we're closer to Canada, so we don't get the Puget Sound energy on Orcas Island. But that's okay. You're going to come work on our healing center out there, so it'll be all good.
We're going to talk about that healing center. I want to go ahead and introduce the Hairstens. These are my people. We caught them. They came on the show face-to-face one time. Ever since then, they're like, we are here every Wednesday to talk about the Lens app and how they are making a difference in the world. I would love to introduce Mr. Lamont and Mrs. Katrina. Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. How's everyone doing?
I'm excited. We need happy Lamont. We need up Lamont today. You got to get the people up. They watching. They ready to go.
It's a little bit hard to be up today. And in order to be up, all of the emotions would have to come out. And if the emotions come out, conversation won't happen. So I am working to conceal stuff a lot today because I'm not in a good space. I'm not in a happy place. And But I'm ready to talk, nonetheless.
Paul, I'm scared, Paul.
Not me. Not me. I'm never scared. I don't know. There's nothing to be scared of. I'm actually somewhat in the opposite of Lamont, because I think if we're talking specifically about last night, I think some bubbles burst, and I think they had to burst. I think we were sitting on a spot, and I think things finally burst. And I think that for the first time since I've seen things, I think there was a lot more universal coming together last night that we were all universally embarrassed.
Absolutely.
Hey, I'll take a little bit closer together, because at least with people I disagree with, maybe politically, we can laugh together and go, wow, that's embarrassing. And now that can lead to maybe a conversation. So I don't think there's any, but well, there's some out there that say, oh, it was wonderful. I was embarrassed, and it was the first time that it opened my eyes to other things I hadn't thought about. Let's put it that way.
Saw your post that said hashtag embarrassed, and I was like, I gotta find out what that was about. So now I found out what that was
about. I'm embarrassed that and I don't want this show ever to turn into a this side or that side. I'm embarrassed that as a country that we had our first presidential debate that universally a lot of people went into playing drinking games during. You know, that, and it started that way. I mean, it wasn't,
we did that.
It happened.
16 too.
They decided to make it a drinking game. And if one says this, the fact that we go into a presidential debate knowing that we're going to be playing drinking games, and the fact that the rest of the world watched that and said, those are the leaders of the world. I was universally embarrassed. I think that's sometimes you have to hit rock bottom. Before you move anywhere, and God, if that wasn't rock bottom, you know.
Amy,
ma'am,
you were, when Paul was speaking, you were saying that we were embarrassed in 2016 as well. So I didn't. Well, I want Paul to finish.
Yeah, it wasn't so much being embarrassed in 2016. It may be. I think Kimberly, you said you're on the East Coast too. I'm in D.C. We play drinking games for everything political, the State of the Union address, the debates, the nominations. Now, what that says is not necessarily the most positive thing, but I can tell you since the early 80s, I just dated myself.
It's okay, we're with you.
But I have followed politics as if it were a sport. But in the last 20 years, this has gone beyond a sport. This has become, last night I think was the culmination of what started in 2000.
Emandisa, did you check out the debates?
You didn't see my post?
You asked those hard questions, Emandisa.
No, I giggled and laughed through the whole thing. You got to understand, I've been in politics for nearly half my life. And so I have a lot to say about this. You know, I'm going to get real about this, and I'm going to put it back on the American people. It's not on them. It's on us.
Well, get real with the American people. How do you put it back on? Come on.
Because at the end of the day, it's all about local politics. It's all about grassroots politics. Joe Biden didn't come from nowhere. He started off in local politics, but because the American people only get hyped up every 4 years. And at the end of the day, it's the Congress that has more responsibility to that the conditions that our country is in than the President of the United States. We change them like we change diapers. And we get caught up in personality. We don't get caught up in policy. You know, I've helped write legislation. I've watched a group of welfare moms get together and make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and write their own legislation and take the time to be a part of the process. So when I hear people complaining about the President of the United States, I really have a problem with that, because I'm in this every day, 24/7, 365, and I don't see the people show up. So when it comes to voting, I laugh. When it comes to debates, I laugh. I was also a collegiate speech and debate coach. That is not debate. That is not how Princeton and the school in Carroll College in Helena, Montana. Carroll College in Helena, Montana is a small little Montana Catholic school that beats Princeton in speech and debate. That's not debate. That's a clown show. And every 4 years we get ourselves divided and fight with our friends and family over this nonsense because we don't show up. So that's what I have to say, because I do this.
You're on the right show. No, look, I think you're in the right place, because that's what we don't talk about. You know, I wore a shirt yesterday. I've worn on the show a few times. Says doing is greater than talking. Now, I don't minimize talking, because I think we have to talk, and I think we all need to talk and be able to have intelligent, rational conversations. But I also believe that you got to go out and do something. You can't just come out and scream that Trump is this, or Biden is this, or Black Lives Matter this, Black Lives Matter Police this. Great. We need to have our voice. But then what are you doing about it? Are you working in your community? Are you making a change yourself? Are you getting involved in local politics? What are you doing to affect change anywhere you can? If you don't like something, you know, if you don't like the environment issues, are you going out once a week and just picking up a little bit of garbage? Those are the things where I agree with you that I think doing is important, to take it beyond just watching and then arguing with our friends and family and others.
Yeah. I think for me today, the thing that really has me thrown off, and like Iman Deesa was saying, you live it. So every week I've come on here, we've had to address something dealing with the racial disparities of this country. And when I was watching the debate last night, I actually was watching it with open ears, hoping that some of the issues that we all know continuously have been buried and swept under rugs for decades in this country is going on again. And when given the opportunity, he did what he always does. He made comments to charge up his base. And I didn't know who the Proud Boys were before last night. But right after he made that comment, I went online and they said, President, we salute you and we will wait for our marching orders. And when nobody knew what he was talking about, when they talked about Election Day, he then came back and said, I need my base to go out to polls in Democratic cities to make sure they don't cheat. Who was he talking to? Turns out he was probably talking to the Proud Boys, which takes me back to when Black people got the right to vote. How did they keep us from going to the polls? With masses of people with guns and aggression, and he just enacted it last night, in my opinion. And can't nobody tell me otherwise. That's what I heard, because I know the history.
Iman Deesa, I saw you put your hand up.
Well, because, you know, we're at the center of that here in the Pacific Northwest. And the Proud Boys have been going down to Portland and carrying on. And they've been having Back the Blue rallies in Snohomish County to one of the women that work with one of the women that work with Sharif and I, Janelle Burke. She's out in Snohomish County. She's a Black woman. And they're having rallies out there with the Proud Boys. And now, the thing about the Proud Boys is kind of like Black Lives Matter. When you have a decentralized organization, there are people in there, because they do have people of color in the Proud Boys. But there are a contingency of white supremacists, and they are making relationships with the sheriff's department out there. We had an incident with one of our youth, and so there have been police bothering some of the Black people out in Snohomish County. And so the lady said, well, I can't say that these men were actually police officers, but they had on your the garb that you have on and the badge and all of that. And she had a Snohomish County sheriff's deputy tell her that anybody could get one of those. And it's to the point that the sheriffs don't recognize whether these people walking around are actually sheriffs. Because remember, a sheriff can deputize
anybody,
a regular citizen. Okay? That's what's going on down here. So now law enforcement and the Proud Boys, and see, and you got Seattle, but then you got rural Washington, then you got Idaho. I'm from Montana. When I drive to Montana, I go straight through Idaho, because ain't nothing out there but white supremacists. So yes, the call has been made, and it's scary. And
well, it's also, I would say, it's not limited to rural.
Right.
So Fairfax County,
I live there.
Literally 8 miles from DC. The day early voting started, there had been a rally happening in the next county over, which is Loudoun County. It's where Dulles Airport is, just to give you some geography if you're not familiar over here. The Trumps, not all, but a percentage, enough of them to require a police presence, showed up at the Fairfax County Government Center, surrounding people waiting in line to vote. They were 40 people deep waiting in line to vote, socially distanced, and comes pouring into the parking lot. Flags, banners, big signs, air horns, a lot of epithets being thrown around. And this is Fairfax County. This is, you know, so many folks who live around me, we're government employees, or we have some relationship back to the government. Turns out the leader of this parade was the head of the Loudoun County GOP.
Wow.
And he did not, you know, have anything particularly helpful to say about it. Oh, it's just, you know, it's people expressing themselves. No, it's voter intimidation. Don't try and frame it as anything different.
Sure. Because it goes right with what she just said. This morning when I woke up, because of all that, and I know about Loudoun County and Fairfax because I worked at Loudoun County JDC, and I was down there when the MS-13 thing took off.
Oh, MS-13.
Yes. So I know exactly what she's speaking of, and yes, it is that bad. Then you go down to Fauquier County and all of that, it's even worse. But anyway, this morning when I woke up, this is the first time in my memorable years of being a Black man that I actually sat outside and I asked God, why did I get this skin right here? I ain't never done that in my life. I was pissed off about being Black when I woke up. When I dressed my class this morning, soon as I logged in, my criminal justice class, they wanted to talk about the debates and stuff. I couldn't even get through my course because I was sitting there in tears and my kids was trying to make me talk to them to get it off my chest. But as a state employee, I'm not allowed to express my views at work. So I turned it over to them and let them tell me how they felt. But it is crazy that waking up in your own skin gets annoying when you see the powers that be continuously and subtly in their own way spewing garbage that's going to defectively or effectively affect what you look like, what your kids look like, and how they grow up. So yes, I woke up today pissed, and it took everything in me to post, not to post it. You're absolutely right. You coming to the polls with yours, damn it, I'm going to have mine because I got a whole bunch of clips and a whole bunch of bullets. I will not be intimidated, but I didn't do that. But that's how I feel.
Well, I like you said that you said you didn't do that. I like that you said I didn't do that because right where you were saying that, I wanted to say, but is that the answer? You know what I mean? Because violence begets violence. But I'm also looking at Katrina's face. Katrina hasn't smiled. She hasn't been her normal self. So Katrina, how has this affected you? You're usually the happier one of the two.
I
feel like I'm in trouble now with, you know, with Katrina. Like I done killed your dog or something. Like she's mad. Mom is mad right now.
I feel it deeply because I'm the wife of a Black man, and I'm the mom of a Black man, and I'm the daughter of a Black man, and I'm the sister of a Black man. And just to see the blatant call of action to try to kill and hurt and sabotage and distract the Black men, not just the Black men in my life, but just every person of color, every person who doesn't agree is immediately a threat. And I think that is just such an injustice to individualism. That's the whole point of being a damn individual, is being able to think the way you think, say what you say, feel how you feel, and it doesn't even have to make sense to anybody else because it's yours. Doesn't mean it's right or it's wrong, but it's yours. And just the blatant double middle finger all day, every day. And, you know, because we are in now the business that we're in and we do what we do, now we're immersed in it. We're immersed in it on all sides because it's all that we talk about now. It's all that we research. It's all that we see. So it's a really, really, really heavy weight in the house all day, even, you know, in the bed when it's just me and him talking. So it's just, it's hard when you have a leader who's supposed to be a leader of all people, And he draws such a disrespectful line in the sand where it's really saying, if you don't agree what I say, you're gonna die. Or you know, if you don't agree how with what I have going on, then we're going to make it as hard for you as we can until you break. So his whole point now is to break you. And that's just not what leadership is. That's not what love is. That's not what your position is. And that is just, that's the people's fault. I blame this on America because they were so looking for different, well, I wanna cuss. They were so hard looking for different, thinking that different was better. Different got this country fucked up in every six ways. And it's just, it's sucky that people still can't see it. This man has 4 years of fuck yous and you still can't see it. You still support him. He
can't see it or won't see it.
Well, I'm like Katrina. Katrina has that not today say, not today. So Kimberly, you listen to our panelists. You see the pain, the emotion from the Harrisons, the passion from Emandisa, Paul, Amy, their experiences. Kimberly, what comes to mind when you're having this conversation?
Several things. I realized that I was Black when I was in kindergarten, or it might have been first grade. I was 5. I hadn't quite turned 6 yet. I do remember that. And there was a boy in my class and I thought that he was nice. That was as simple as that. And I remember the teacher joking to him and saying, I think Kimberly likes you. And he looked repulsed and he said, but she's Black. Mm. And so hearing this today, I was reminded that I'm reminded of that often. I'm from the East Coast. I live in Metro Atlanta, but I'm from South Georgia. And to put it in perspective, I graduated in 99 and I graduated during an era of my high school where we still had Black cheerleading squad, white cheerleading squad. We had separate homecomings. Only one person of color could be like, either you had to have, well, the person of color was never really permitted to be the valedictorian. The 1 year I remember in high school where the person was up to be valedictorian was a person of color and wasn't Black, but it was a person of color. And they changed the criteria. It wasn't about 1 year, it was the depth of the classes that you took. So if you had a fluff schedule and you had, you know, that 4.0, that didn't count. You didn't take hard classes. Then the next year you took the hard classes, but now it's just solely on GPA. It was like the mark kept being moved. And all of my family, my immediate family, I should say, still lives there. And I'm reminded of where I'm from every day that I talk to my mother or my father or other family that's there, because I worry for them. Because, you know, for some people, last night was an awakening. The Trump administration has been an awakening for them. This has been my life since I was born, you know, with the racism, the blatant racism, the subtle racism, having a guidance counselor tell you that you should pursue vocational diploma because it's less math and it'll be easy for you. Not even looking at my transcript to see that I already had high school credit in the 8th grade. So I was, you know, several friends asking about the debate and I really wanted to know, why are you watching it? What are you hoping to get out of it? Because for me, I already had what I needed. And I just refuse to inflict additional pain on myself because I'm the mother of 2 Black boys. Mm-hmm. I married a Black man who had guns put on him because he fit the description. And the only thing that matched between him and the man they were looking for was their skin tone. But in West Virginia, that was enough. That was enough to have to be surrounded. And possibly, you know, if he had flinched, who knows what would have happened. You know, I had to have that uncomfortable conversation with my nephew, who I love more than I love myself, asking him, what does he do in school when someone calls him out of his name? and how, what is the appropriate response? What do you do if you tell your teacher and she doesn't do anything? How do you keep your composure so that you are not now the issue? Because that happens so often, we've seen with Black people being slaughtered. There, it's not the issue that they were unarmed, asleep, unconscious, whatever, you know, they're looking for a reason. So it's all in the presentation of it and having to have that conversation with him that is not about whether or not you are right. It's whether or not the way that you respond and present yourself, if they can justify it as being threatening. The weight, there's so much weight.
Yeah, I can tell it's something that you're passionate about. That's one of the reasons why we wanted to have Miss Emandisa Sobira back, because when she was on here last week or the week before, I'm not sure, but she talked about some of the things that she experienced within her lifetime. Because one of the things that's often discussed is, okay, well, that happened and slavery happened and that was the past and all these other things, but you yourself have experienced it during your lifetime. Now, I know, Paul, you had something that you wanted to say, and then Lamont started talking. But Paul, I want to ask you, what are your thoughts? I mean, you're hearing Lamont and his wife break down. You're hearing Kimberly talk about her experiences. You know, Emandisa responded, reminded us about how when she was a child, they closed the whole pool because the little Black girl was swimming in the pool, and her mother had to explain to her why she could no longer have swimming lessons. I mean, these are their experiences. So when you hear them share their pain, what are your thoughts, Paul?
I think people who watch the show certainly know my thoughts, because I never understood or felt or even was aware of this pain. And I'm 50 years old and I went to college and, you know, I've lived in many places. I travel for business. And, you know, some people might say, well, it's because you chose not to see it. Maybe I didn't want to see it. Maybe it was never presented to me to see. And then by doing the show with you, by being asked to do the show with you and being willing to sit here and listen and learn and be given homework assignments, which I never did when I was in school, but now I'm actually doing some of them. I am learning a lot more. And let me be clear, I'm not, you know, this to me is not a partisan show. We have people on from all walks. I was embarrassed for the country last night, but we tend to go back on this show to the race issue, which I have learned a lot about. I never heard, you know, these things. I never learned about it. To see a new friend of mine, to have the emotion, to have tears, and to have that anger, I need to understand that. I think everybody needs to understand it, so we can move along. You know, I want to ask, you know, there could be anger, there's anger. What do we do next? Okay, we had Obama as a president for 8 years, a Black man as a president, and I don't know if we moved the needle and educated enough on race issues. And now we have Trump, and it's going to be Trump or Biden. And what I'm afraid of is no matter who wins, the topic, we don't move the needle on the topic. I know that I've moved the needle for me. I know that I've moved the needle a little bit for some of the people I talk to who I've encouraged to just learn a little bit about things that they didn't know. What do we do after this? Is what concerns me. Does everybody go back to what they were doing? Just like we were awesome to each other in 9/11 for a couple of weeks in New York City and please and thank you and holding doors and you're the greatest. And then 2 weeks later, went back to being New Yorkers. Let me get my hustle back on. So I'm worried about the future.
I can't speak for nobody else, but for me, with the emotion and how this has overtaken my life, I'm actually thinking this is probably what I was supposed to be doing the whole time, because I never got too far away from it, but I never had to deal with it 24 hours a day. And now I'm concerned with, mind you, I'm in class right now. I got students on the screen looking at me right now. So this is my life all day long. And I have to make sure that I leave this place better than I got it. And if my voice has to be heard more, if I have to get more active, I'm at a point now where the only reason that I still have a job and I'm not beating the streets is because I know she can't do this without me. But I don't want to be here right now
even though this is my calling, because I can only reach so many people on a Zoom sitting in my house. I have to get out there, and sadly enough, I'm gonna have to start barking. And that's not what I wanna do, but that's what's necessary, because talk, 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 new president, nothing changed. Talk, 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 new president, nothing changed. Talk, 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 new president, nothing changed. And what Trump has just done, 301 federal judges, probably with his views, if he gets the Supreme Court justice passed, he now has a 6-3 with all of his views. How would a needle ever move in my lifetime at 46 when he just trying to put a judge on his 38? That means she gonna be there until I'm a dead man, and nothing will happen until we get rid of those people who make the policies and drop the gavel to keep anything from moving. That's the problem. It's not us. It's not the masses, but he made sure he filled up all the decision makers with all of his views, all of his supporters, and he's setting it up that if I lose, it's wrong, so we got to take it to the Supreme Court. That's why he wants that extra justice in there. 6-3, how can he ever lose? And he knows it. Just like the country has known the agenda the whole time, as we just are recently learning, digging back in with all the policies woven in place secretly to make sure you keep the foot on the necks of the people that you don't want to rise up. And that just happens to be a sad lesson, but that's the reality of it.
Amy, you wanted to say something?
I kind of want to circle back to what Mandisa was talking about in this, this idea, because I absolutely agree with you and with others who have said, this is back on the American people. This is not about who is specifically the president, because it is the legislative branch of the federal government that wields the most power, but also the trickle down of that. Where do they come from? And that is state and local. And how do these people become rising stars in state and local government? And I've seen since the early 80s, a breakdown in the ability to have conversations like this in this small group. These conversations are no longer happening widely, broadly. They used to be kitchen table conversations, and then that extended out to either extended family or to friends and family. When I went to college, the whole point of going to college, and we're all of an age, the whole point of going to college was to have your views challenged. So you were learning more. And we're not doing that now. We're shutting ourselves off from that. I think social media contributes to that. I think the pandemic is not helping that situation. We're isolating more and more and more. But I really think that the point you made, Mandisa, about nobody gets excited about state and local. That's not the sexy stuff. That's not the fun election. But you know what? That is the one that affects you every single damn day. And it's not, I think our other issue is we as a country are not thinking long term. We're thinking in the moment. Everything's got to be, I need immediate return. Well, some things aren't immediate return. And you know who knows that? Mitch McConnell. He has played the long game. And why we are being held hostage by him and Lindsey Graham, who represent less than 5% of the actual population of this country. How is this okay?
I understand what's being said. What upsets me most is that I have to caveat my social media posts with, I want to bring up a topic and talk about it. If you insult and blah, 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 I'm have to delete your comment. But why do we have to preface all of our conversations with people with, okay, don't fight, don't curse, don't call names, let's just talk. Like, why do there have to be rules? Because people no longer seem to have the ability to just get on and talk and, you know, and disagree. It's okay to disagree. I disagree with policies on both sides. Unfortunately, in this country, you have to self-identify as one side when it comes to your voting. And I think more and more people are not on one side or the other. More people are most people that I know, at least in my world, let me talk for my world, are just right or left of center. But all we're seeing is the far ends of the party causing everyone to fight. And I have to go to all my friends, say, like, even when I have, you know, dinner parties, and it could be a group of just white Jewish people that I'm there at, you know, whatever, I have to say, I don't want to turn this into a political fight. I'm just curious, you know, are you going to watch it? Something. And it automatically devolves, you know, moves into a fight, which is, again, why I love doing the show, because I could talk and I could ask questions and not feel embarrassed, not feel, you know, like I'm going to get attacked for it. And people ask me questions to ask because they're just too afraid to ask. I'm like, why are you afraid to talk? Once we're afraid to talk, that's a scary thing to me. That's really scary. And I'm feeling things from this show that I've never felt before, like questioning myself. Like, I am now making it up. Like, I am trying to be more open. But now I'm like, are you being reverse racist? Like, if I walk by anybody, you know, down the street in inner city, you know, when I happen to go to Buffalo and I'm walking down the city and I'm saying hello to people that I might not have said hello to in the past. Like, and I say to myself, well, are you trying to do something? Are you, you know, are you deliberately? I'm trying to be more aware of everybody and more aware of what people think and feel, because I can't wear that. Yeah. There's no way for me to wear it. Like, I've thought about it, man, I wish I could go to one of those places where I could do the experiment and they could, you know, and they could dress me up to be black and I can go to a store and feel somewhat, because I can't feel it. I can hide my Jewishness if people are anti-Semitic. I can hide my this, you know, I can't. So there's so many emotions that come up from what I've learned of being a part of this. But the most important one is, please don't fight, talk. Because it's moved me in a lot. It's moved me in lots of ways since we've started talking.
So you say you can't feel it. You don't know what it would feel like to be, you know, to be a black man and go into the store and experience that. So you can't feel that. So my question is, what can you do?
What can I do? I can talk. I can learn. I was challenged, not challenged, but I was asked to watch a documentary called 13th, because before I started the show, if you had asked me, is there systemic racism in this country? I probably said, I don't think so. I know that there's racists out there, but now that I've watched shows like the 13th, like, which was a great documentary, and I'm reading now a book that I was asked to read, The Rage of the Privileged Class. And I've, you know, the Black Codes that I was asked to look like. Now, what could I do? I could do a show like this, talk to people. I could educate myself. I can talk to my kids, one of who's in high school and one of who's in college. I could talk to my friends who grew up like me that didn't deliberately avoid this. We went to school with predominantly white communities. It was never taught. It was never brought. I don't feel it. So I could talk to my friends and say, I just watched a documentary that was really eye-opening. I've shared the show on my page. That's all I can do, is try and learn, try and understand, because I can never put on the skin. I will never have the conversation with my son that if you get pulled over, this is how you don't get this. I'll never have that. So I don't know what else to do besides talk, learn, educate myself, and try and build bridges, because I've said it on the show before, to people who've been on the show before, I can't change the world. But I just can't. I could change me. I could change a couple friends. I could change, you know, a situation which has a ripple effect down the line. And together we could change the world.
Well, one of the misconceptions people have is that in order to change the world, you have to change the masses. And if you really change yourself, like true change within yourself, it has a ripple effect. So, you know, that's not to negate your efforts at all, because it is at least action. And you made a comment earlier about activism, about people doing something more other than just sort of talking. And I'm a teacher as well. And one of the videos that I show the students is a little skit about you are not an activist, and about how it has to be active. It has to be active. And I'm a big believer in, if you change yourself, you truly change yourself, it does have a ripple. It has a ripple effect.
I definitely agree. And I believe that it does have a ripple effect. One of the things that I'm so proud of about this show is co-hosting the show with Paul. And I'll say this today, and I've said this plenty of times, I would never have done this show in particular without Paul, because Paul shows up every week. He gives of his time, he gives of his energy. And we came up with homework for Paul. Paul went and did the homework, and even his response, his thoroughness in doing the homework was a surprise to me. I know it was a surprise to Lamont when he came back, and it just shows his commitment. And so by airing this show and doing the show live, and plenty of people are tuning in and watching the show live, he is here making a difference for other people. That's what we're all doing. And change starts with the conversation. So Emandisa, when you hear Kimberly, when you hear Paul, when you hear Lamont in his pain, and we're having discussion about the local and state level, what are your thoughts, E?
Oh, my goodness.
Let it out, girl.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I'm 52, and I grew up in Great Falls, Montana, around all white people. My dad was married to a Native American, so I was raised in a Native American family for the first 12 years of my life. And then my father married a white woman. And so I have a white brother, a white sister, and five white nieces. I'm still friends with all of my elementary school friends. I will kick somebody's behind my elementary school friends. They're all little white kids. And I actually had a childhood friend call me the other day, and he said, my nickname is Mimi. And he said, Mimi, I'm just a white man from Montana who treats people the way I want to be treated. I don't understand all of this, you know, and I just want to learn. And I had to remind him of how, when we were kids, you know, it was never an issue. I got teased every once in a while, but I came from a little town, and it was a military town. So we got to be connected to different aspects of the world by being in a military town. And for the first 18 years of my life, I'm not saying I didn't get called names, but what I am saying is this race stuff that's out here in this world, it didn't exist in Great Falls, Montana. The content of my character, the content of my father's character that moved there in 1967 with Boeing, where he couldn't get a haircut when he first got there. And there was a white man that said, hey, you know what? I'll cut your hair. And to this day, he still cuts my dad's hair for free and my son's hair for free. You cannot legislate moral consciousness.
No, you can't.
You can't do that. Great. You can't do that. Listen to Prince's music. Listen to some of the people's music that were actually a part of that busing thing. It was traumatic because one day we were separate. We had our own Black grocery stores, our own Black doctors, our own Black everything, our own Black teachers. We had our own Black thing going on. And then we woke up one day and we voted and everybody got pushed together, right? 1964 legislation, legislation. 1968 legislation, legislation. Presidents, Congress, all kinds of people. 1973, little Black girl, private Catholic swimming pool. White people got together. She can't swim here. Kids didn't have a problem with it. You cannot legislate moral consciousness. We cannot ask presidents and Congress and all of this to change the world, because you know what? They're people. Have you met people? Have you met people?
Yes.
Just because you dress them up in a tie and give them a title, then you put a whole different standard of excellence and moral consciousness on these people that you put in office. I've run people for office. I ran a guy who was a former Black Panther for United States Senate. I thought if all people, he gets it. He announced his candidacy within 2 days. There was a hit piece about him in the media, right? And all of the people that I had gotten together that had decided to vote for him, when things about his past came up, all of a sudden they didn't want to vote for him. And you know what happened? He got all in his feelings and went off to the mountains to meditate. I was his campaign manager. So how am I supposed to run a campaign for somebody who I don't even want to vote for? Where do you think these people come from? They come from your own community that wake up one morning and decide that they want to run for office. And you know what? They're people. They're just people. They're just people. Have you met people?
Finished meditating?
Have you met people?
You're not done meditating.
You know, And so it's a process that we have to be involved in. So I'm all about solutions. All right. So I've been doing this work for over 20 years. So this is what we're, yes, sir.
I hear all the time, because I listen to your message and it resonates so much, but you hear from people all the time, because I agree with you. It's people. It's what I do in my office. It's what I do at my home. What I do when I encounter people that starts the change, right? But there's people who will say, yeah, but the president or but Congress, but they're the voice of the nation. So they set the tone and direction. And my answer, I understand that, but just because somebody sets a tone, you don't have to go with it. Like you can do your own thing. You can change your own community, right? So there's these two, you know, hey, it's who you are. It's changing as a person, but the leadership of the country, well, they set the tone. And I think we have to separate out those two. They can set a leadership tone. I don't have to accept it. I don't have to go with it. I can work to change it in my own world and a world that I never know. There's not one person. I think maybe one person has been on the show I knew. The rest have all been new to me, and it's opened me up to learn a lot. So, you know, leadership could do whatever they want. Trump could win. Biden could win. If it was me, I'm going to put none of the above. I've got six people that are voting me in, and I'll do it. It'll be fun. All I want to know is if there's a real Loch Ness monster and if we have a spaceship. Give me the office for one day. I just want to know the real dirt.
That's a high level for that.
I'm going to change my level. I'm going to change
for president. Paul for president. You got seven now, Paul.
Seven votes. Hey, that's more than a lot of other people. And my first priority is mandatory. You must download the Lens app. That's if not, you're out.
Oh my God. Like, I thought that was number two on the list. Like, can't they watch face to face first? No, guys.
They have to have the app first. Then they can watch. It's prerequisite. So then they can do something with it so we can get change.
Hey, Paul, you know something? You said something interesting when you're talking about what are people doing. And the one thing that always bothers me, because the fact that I'm not a very, very wealthy individual, I have always performed social service work, from working with families with children suffering from autism to people locked in secure facilities to teaching right now. And when I see, and I don't get to pick my students, I don't get to pick my clients, I've never gotten to pick anybody I've worked with. So when you see the diversity that I'm looking at in certain classes that I may have or certain families that I'm working with, and then I end my workday and I come home to my family that looks just like me, and I turn on my television and see the disparaging remarks and the mistreatment and how the needle's not moving. True, this conversation does move the needle, and true, you start in your own community. But where I start to run into the issues that get me perturbed and have me all frustrated is I know right above my community level, we have this roadblock of people who won't allow you above that level. And then the process gets stagnated again. The needle doesn't move. And we're looking at another 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 30 years of the same mess. It's hard when you're sitting here, a history teacher, like we've been talking about, and reading through all of that stuff, and you still see the same policies and the same principles with a different twist on it to make it seem like you're offering an opportunity. And I know you're not offering an opportunity. So I sit here all day and I lie to 100 and some of my kids and say, this is possible. But when you hit the ceiling, that's the difference. I tell them, no, there is a ceiling. It's gonna get stopped, go as high as you can. There's a ceiling. They're gonna mess with you. I'm not gonna let you think it's all gumdrops and rainbows, because it's not. So that's the only way I can really help them, by not feeding them the lies that I learned. And I give them a voice and I let them talk about what they want to talk about. And right now they're listening to what's going on right now, because I want them to be aware.
Well, so let me ask this question. I hear you, Lamont. I hear you. I hear the pain and I hear the passion in your voice. But I want to go back to Emandisa real quick. And Emandisa talked about being an activist for basically 20 years. She talked about the guy running for Senate. Emandisa was it the campaign manager for Ralph Nader when he ran against?
No, wow. I worked with Ralph when I ran people for lieutenant governor and governor of California for the Green Party.
Okay, so you hear Lamont, what I hear, so that's why I want to see what you hear, E, right. is what I hear is somebody who wants to do more, who right. wants to take on some type of action. There seems to be a question of, okay, but what can I do? So you spoke about the local level, the state level, right. starting with your community. And one of the things that I talked about after all of this happened, after I ran for Long Beach City Council, because people were talking about protesting and let's do this and like, let's do that. And I'm like, okay, but before the world blew up, there was, where were the people? You know, just like you were saying earlier, where were the people? So what is it that someone like Lamont or Lamont himself can do to use that energy to make a positive change and an actual difference in the world?
Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, we're behind the game, you know, because none of us were taught this. In civics, we were taught the three branches of government. We never were taught our involvement in those three branches of government. And you have to start locally. You can't start nationally. I started off as an international activist. I hung out with Minister Farrakhan, Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson had me moved off of a board of my own of organization. We had the FBI and the CIA tapping our phones and stuff like that. So when I say I've been in this, I've been in this. But the
I won't call you anymore. The
most direct results and the most pleasure that I've had is working on local politics, period. There are things called precinct committee officers. Pick a party and become one. See what's happening when your neighbors, regular people, are getting together and making decisions for you. Where are the people? When the people are standing outside the grocery store with the little petition and everything, you're walking right by them. You need to sign that because that's a referendum to change legislation, to change a bill. These politicians and their personalities don't mean anything. The policy and the legislation is what means everything, 1,000%. So you have to be a part of the process before it gets on the ballot. You have to be a process of putting it on the ballot. The only way that you're going to be able to do that is know your own revised codes that govern your own state. Know the policies that your city councils are considering. Where did your city council people come from? Are you taking time to watch on public access, if you can't go to the meetings, they televise them every day and you're seeing what's coming up for a vote. You have to participate. We cannot blame everything on these people. They're in office. We cannot expect them to do anything because you know what? I went to Black Lobby Day about 10 years ago. I had two senators tell me that whenever they get 8 phone calls, letters, or emails about an issue, that's when they start paying attention. That's how little we get involved. We're not involved every 2 years when Congress switches. We're not involved every 4 years. We only get involved every 4 years. So unless we're involved every single day, it's not going to change. It's not going to change. We can't move the needle forward and we can't move the ceiling until we get involved at the local level. And there's no other way to say it. I can't sugarcoat it. I can't candy coat it because I started off in international politics. I belong to an organization with the United Nations. I've been playing this game for 25 years. So people get involved.
You play it well. You play it well.
And you have to be, and you have to be around for the boring stuff.
Yeah.
Not the exciting drops of the ticker tape, not just the fireworks and the whole bit. But it is the boring line item details, budget. Oh my God, sitting through budget hearings is almost desperation time. But if you don't follow the money trail, there is no way to be able to follow it all the way. You know, you're not going to be able to know all the details. And once your face gets noticed, that helps a little, but it's still boring. There's still boring times.
Yeah.
But you're impacting, you're creating a community. That thing about how do you get involved? How do you do it? You know, they're always looking for input locally.
Yes.
And just to throw a curveball for your next show, I am a registered Republican and I hold office in the Republican Party. So that's just to piss people off for the next show.
So basically you're going to be here next week is what you're saying, E?
Yes, ma'am.
Look, since you pissing people off in advance, you know, don't leave me and Paul and Lamont and Katrina with the pissed off people. Come back, talk to us, and we'll continue this conversation. Lamont, I wanted you, did you have any thoughts on what E said about the local politics, the 8 people? Because just thinking of the Lens app And the whole idea of eight people, eight texts, eight calls, eight, you know, that's not a lot.
Well, here, let I help you out. In the state of Delaware, when you get more than eight, you get a response saying, don't contact me no more. That's one. Two, I am aware that we have gotten heavily involved in the local elections. We don't miss any votes. We're out there. When somebody presents a petition, I do sign it. But I was told that you contact them. When I contact representatives here in Delaware, I get a response. Well, what it is that they want me to know about them. They haven't paid anything. I've sent any attention. So that's why when the moment that this stuff launches, I'm going to turn around and say, you had this sitting in your email since May. I called you multiple times. I talked to your assistant. You haven't called me back once. Delaware sucks for that because all they want to do is push what they already have on the table. If it's not on the table, they're not listening. And I didn't vote for Coons for that reason because his office said, leave me alone.
That's what you want.
What's going on here?
You just speak truth to power and let them tell you to leave you alone and keep talking. Mm-hmm.
Yes, because that's what we do here at Face to Face Talk Show. We keep talking. Now we are coming down. And why? Because change starts with the conversation. I just love to bring that up. That's my new exciting thing. We have to talk. We have to have more conversations. But unfortunately, we are down to the last 5 minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching this show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. We're going to start with you, Amy.
I think the most important thing to take away from this, I appreciate the opportunity to actually have a conversation. I appreciate the opportunity to listen. And I think we need to do a lot more listening as much as we are talking. So thank you for this.
You are so welcome. Feel free to come back anytime. What do you have for us, Kimberly? You're on mute, Kimberly.
There we go. Do not be absent. That's the biggest thing. I mean, you look at the numbers, it's deplorable how many people did not vote in the last election. And that is voting for everything. I mean, your local election, that's where the judges are that are gonna be deciding the cases for your family members, your cousins, things like that. Like, so get up and vote, you know, don't just wait on the beauty of the presidential thing. You want to take your selfie, you know, with your I just voted sticker. Like, there are elections that are happening more often than that. And they are, I believe, a lot of the time more important than the big one, because you're talking about that direct impact of your life. Go vote. Vote for who's on the ballot. All of these write-ins, that's counterproductive to a real process. So don't be lazy, show up, you know, exercise your right. Don't stay home, be present.
I agree with you 99%. We still writing in Paul Faust, but aside from that, I was with you 100%, but we gonna get my boy Paul in to office one way or another. Mandisa, what do you have for us?
Well, I just want to bring it back to Muhammad Ali. You know, we're very excited to bring a local organizing project that Prince and Muhammad Ali put together. And I'm really hoping that we're going to do it in this small little city in Shoreline, Washington. And we hope that the rest of the country duplicates it, because it's a powerful organizing mechanism tool for politics and social issues and freeing the music and freeing the people. So I look forward to this, and thank you, Sharifa, for doing this. Is now my juices are flowing. I might actually get up and do something positive today.
Well, I'm glad we got your juices flowing here on Face to Face Talk Show. I always enjoy when you're on the show. One of the things that I've loved about you for years is you do not sugarcoat it. You do not just give us the answers that we want to hear. You give us the truth according to Emandisa Sabira. So I appreciate and I respect that. Lamont, I guess we missed Katrina, but Lamont, what do you guys have for us?
Now, she's still in the room. She's doing some work stuff also. The only thing I have is, like you say, Paul, all the time, we do have to have these conversations. We do have to take our blinders off, because at the end of the day, it's all about community and it's all about helping people. And that is why my wife and I did create that app, because we feel like that will be a very instrumental tool and building a bridge between policing communities, and potentially changing the way we look at each other. Because you don't learn about a person if you don't sit down and have a conversation with them. And that's one thing that Face to Face has allowed us to do. And I can honestly say it has made me feel a lot better about all of the things that I can't control, because I get to see every week that there are people out there that may have a different opinion, but at the end of the day, we all want some form of harmony and progress in this current hellhole we have right now. So that's what I have for the people.
I think that was well said, very well said. Thank you for that, Lamont. Paul, what do you have for us?
Wow, a lot.
We got 1 minute before you.
Yeah, here's what I'm believing. I'm going to ask you to do the hardest thing that I'm going to ask you to do since I've been on the show. The next time someone throws a punch, and I mean a verbal punch, the next time someone posts something that you so unbelievably disagree with, don't think about counterpunching. Stop, back up, try and think, why is this person so passionate about what they're saying? Because we have this reaction to, you punch, oh yeah, let me get behind my grenade wall and lob one back at you. Gets us nowhere. If someone's on your social media feed, let's assume that there's a connection or a friendship there. So if someone posts something that you totally disagree with everything in your power, don't counterpunch. Reach out to them privately, not on the Facebook thread. We have to protect your ego, and say, you're so passionate about that topic. Could we talk about it offline? Right? And then take the time to learn why they're so passionate. You can still disagree, but don't just counterpunch. It's getting us nowhere, guys, nowhere. I've wanted to counterpunch Lamont a few times. Instead, I step back and I'm like, whoa, he should have punched me twice. So that's what I'm going to ask people to do. Stop counterpunching. It's getting the two bloody people and nobody is winning the fight. Nobody is winning the fight. We win together.
Amen. I love it. I love it. I have enjoyed today's conversation. I'm looking forward to next week when we discuss Black Republicans, if there is such a thing. So that's where we're going to talk about next week, along with the Lens app and so much more. I always just enjoy being here. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of Face-to-Face Talk Show. Katrina, did you have anything?
Peace and blessings to everyone. Thank you.
Not today, Satan. Peace and blessings to to all of you. I want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. We really appreciate your support. But as I say every week, please just watch the show, join the conversation. You're commenting, jump on the show, be a guest, talk with us. Now, if you want to be a guest, please go to the website at asharifa.com. Until next week, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Everyone have a safe and a blessed week. Bye now.